And if you will, in Luke 16, look with me at the 8th verse, and I'll give you a little review. The 19th or 18th verse of this chapter deals with marriage and remarriage, adultery. And so I begin to meditate because on Sundays we're doing a study on the legal rights of marriage, divorce, and remarriage. What constitutes the right to remarry and all the legal aspects of it. So Sunday mornings we're doing this study quite detailed, and it's been the most fantastic study as far as digging into the Word of God and listening to the Holy Ghost that I've ever done. However, in meditating through this 19th verse, in this 16th chapter continually, God began to wake up some other principles about a servant's heart and prosperity. So in getting into one message, He got me into another that I don't mind at all. So we've been studying from this 16th and 17th chapter on a steward's heart, on a servant's heart, and what really constitutes God's prosperity. So looking at the 8th verse, passing in review one more time, He says, and the Lord commended the unjust steward. Ooh, can there? You're going to have to wait a minute quickly on myself, or my words aren't going to work. Hindokalesko. Klingoboretalakreka kukadichikia. Bendo vundis krakum vele krakimaskia. Hahasili amahorekia. Janessa. For those things that's been explored from time to time and from generation to generation concerning the things of my spirit. Things that your forefathers have seen from time to time. But for the most part, things that have been locked up on traditional trails, locked up and hid from my children that they may not know the things that I prepared for you since before the foundations of the world. Oh, but know this, saith the Spirit, that I have wealth laid up for you that's been uncovered by no other generation. And I've laid it up, saith the Spirit, against these last days. I've laid it up for those who'll allow me to purge them in character and allow me to give them a servant's heart and move big on their behalf, saith the Spirit. For there's even those that I'm separating to myself now. Those who I'll season and I'll try and I'll prove them in a refiner's fire of faithfulness, saith the Spirit of grace, and then I'll outpour my spirit. Yes, my spirit. The power to get wealth that I may establish my covenant as never before in this generation. So therefore rejoice, saith the Spirit, rejoice, for I will unfold mysteries and show you secrets that few have seen, and you will walk in my spirit, and I will make you free, free indeed. And glory to God. Glory to God. That was worth waiting for. My. This few of your forefathers have seen what He is wanting to get over to this generation. That He has untapped reserves and wealth just laid up for you and I against this day. And the test, He said, that we must pass is the character test. Glory be to God forever. I want to be right smack dab in the middle of this great last day move, whether it's financing it or preaching it. And I want to be lost right in the middle of it. Amen. Glory be to God forever. Hallelujah. Let's begin again. And the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. And I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, or by using the power that's in temporary wealth, that when you fail, or that when your life on this earth as a steward is over, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. They is every person who has become your friend because you have used the power that's in money to get them born again. They are laid up into heaven as a treasure on your account, and they will receive you into an everlasting habitation. Well, last Friday night we studied this. But passing in review, notice what the 8th verse says. It says, and the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely. For the children of this world are wiser, or the children of darkness, in their generation than the children of light. Now notice how he differentiated between a child of darkness and a child of light. He differentiated by calling the child of darkness wiser in their generation than a child of light. And I said, God, this is an indictment against my faith. Of God, Jesus Christ has been made unto me wisdom. Yet you're differentiating between me, a born-again child of God, a new creation seated in a heavenly place with Christ Jesus. Yet you're differentiating when it comes to using money between me and a child of darkness by calling the child of darkness wiser in his generation than a child of light. You see, Jesus wouldn't call a child of darkness wiser than a child of light without going on before this teaching is over and show you and I, a child of light, what we can do to make us wiser than a child of darkness. And this is what the next 5 words deal with when he says, and I say unto you. In other words, he's about to give us the revelation that is going to make us wiser as children of light in our generation than any child of darkness ever dreamed of being. He says, and I don't mind telling you that I meditated on this 9th verse until my meditator liked to fell out on the ground. I mean, if this verse is literally going to make me wiser than a child of darkness when it comes to handling the power that's in money, then I would like to know what these golden words of wisdom that Jesus is about to speak. Yet it was very clear. He says, and I say unto you, 5 magic words. And if you can understand them, he is going to give you the wisdom that will make you wiser than any incorporate president of any sinner's company ever dreamed of being. He said, and I say unto you, make to yourself friends by using the power that's in temporary wealth, or wealth pertaining to this temporary life, that when you fail, or when your life on this earth is over, they, that is every person that you got born again by using this temporary wealth as a steward pertaining to this life, they, every person who is saved, they are going to receive you into an everlasting habitation, simply meaning that every person that gets born again by the proper use of my dollar will be laid up into heaven on my account. They will be waiting for me to walk in. The scene will resemble something like this. All of a sudden, hundreds of thousands of people will ascend upon me, and their lips will look like bathroom plungers. They will stick their lips on my face. It will take 17 full-grown angels to pull them off. They are going to want to thank me for using my wealth upon this earth to get them born again. Because of it, they are laid up in this supernatural habitation, this place called heaven, because they have become my friend, or they have become born again by my proper use of the mighty dollar or temporary wealth. You have any idea what Jesus is saying? So what if you're a businessman? Your business means nothing to Jesus unless you have placed it between hell and people trying to get there. Because when He said, I say unto you, the children of this world, the children of darkness are wiser in their generation than the children of light. And why are they wiser? Because that unjust steward had the sense to use the power that was in money to cancel the debts of the debtors against his rich man so that he could move in with them when his stewardship was terminated. And he's saying, as a child of light, don't you have enough sense to know that if you want wisdom that supersedes any wisdom that the world ever dreamed of having, that the whole thing is contingent over what you want the money for? And if you want the money to cancel people's debts against God, which is the sin question, it is the sin that the whole human race was enslaved by the first man Adam. He placed us into debt to God, a debt we could not pay. And now God is saying, if you'll use the power that's in money to cancel people's debt against God, which is the sin question, by getting them born again, then He will make more wisdom available to you than you ever dreamed possible. But I'll ask you again, does your business stand between hell and people trying to get there? I'll ask you again, does your salary stand between hell and people trying to get there? I'll ask you again, does your whole life, everything you are and everything you constitute, stand between you and hell and people trying to get there? I have a call of God on me. Therefore, I have a vocation in the kingdom. I'm called to teach and to preach and to lay hands on the sick and to move in miracles and prophesy. That's my vocation in this whole world. Some of you have a dual vocation. Some of you are called to be helps ministries and governments and run giant incorporations. But you also have a vocation in the kingdom, whether it be helps governments, the diversities of tongues. But you have two vocations, one in the world, one in the kingdom, my friend. Your vocation in the world is and always under subjection to your vocation in the kingdom. If your vocation in the world does not serve your vocation in the kingdom, then you have the laws backwards and you will not be blessed. However, if your incorporation stands between hell and people trying to get there, then you will acquire a new business partner, and he is full-blooded Jewish, and he will make money for your company. His name is Jesus, and he'll give you more wisdom than you ever dreamed possible, because unto you and I of God has Jesus been made wisdom.
What makes that wisdom available to me?
What you want to do with the money is what makes the wisdom available to you. For of God, Jesus has been made unto me wisdom, sanctification, righteousness, redemption. See, I don't have any trouble knowing that I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I am. It's a breastplate. It's a force. And at times past, before I knew how to walk in faith very good, sometimes the devil would beat on my shield of faith until it fell.
and I would have been naked except for the breastplate of righteousness, and he could not talk me out of my salvation. Therefore, I stood through the worst of storms, holding the enemy off with just the breastplate of righteousness, because I finally found out it was not my works lest any man should boast, but my righteousness was a free gift of God. For of God, Christ Jesus, I have been made the righteousness of God in Christ. It is a dominant force that governs my life. You can't talk me out of it. And even if I don't feel righteous, I know that I am. Even if I don't feel like it, I know that I am. Yet in the same verse that said Jesus was made righteousness unto me, the same verse in 1 Corinthians, it says, of God Christ has been made unto me wisdom and righteousness. And righteousness is a force. I said, you mean wisdom is also a force that's just as available to me as righteousness? What do you think? In the same verse that he said that I was the righteousness of God in Christ, he said of him, he has been made unto me wisdom, meaning that his wisdom is just as available to me as his righteousness. Glory be to God forever. It says his wisdom cries at the chief places of concourse. That's the busy intersections of the city. If you wanted to know, it's where the merchants run back and forth and make business deals and transactions. And wisdom is standing there in the chief places of business and yelling, you simple ones, how long will you love simplicity? How would you like to step over into me and employ my wisdom? You would recognize it as something like Wall Street. You mean to tell me there's no bad business decisions that I have ever made or that you have ever made that wisdom was not standing there crying out in a loud voice, you simple one, how long are you going to make wrong decisions? You mean to tell me there's no bad decision I have ever made when I went down in a flailing array of defeat, screaming in agony, that wisdom did not wave her red flags before I entered the gate of error? Yes, it's just as available as righteousness. But what constitutes its use in the area of finances? He's saying the children of this world are wiser because they knew how to use the power that was in money to serve their final end. He's saying if you want wisdom that'll make you wiser than any sinner ever dreamed of being, then you too must use the power that's in money, the power that's in temporary wealth, the power that's in unrighteous mammon to make friends to yourself by canceling people's debts against God, which is the sin question. And everybody's debt who was canceled and was born again and laid up into heaven are going to receive you into an everlasting habitation. And if you go crazy and you're out there getting people born again with your millions, his wisdom is going to be available to you beyond anything that you ever dreamed of. She'll scream at you from the chief places of concourse where the merchants do their transactions. What is the qualification? Whether or not your life can become a force between hell and people trying to get there. Glory. What constitutes this wisdom? Let's go to Isaiah 53. In fact, he's saying the same thing in Luke 16:9, as he says in Deuteronomy 9 and 17 when he says, it is the Lord thy God that gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant with you that he swore unto your fathers. And fathers was making reference to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the promise that he promised in covenant. Was that his seed would number as the sands of the sea and the stars of heaven, and in his seed all the families of the world would be blessed. Yet he says, I, the Lord your God, gives you power to get wealth. Why? Because he wants to establish this covenant with you that he swore to your great forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So when he says you want more wisdom than the world ever dreamed of employing, you must also understand what the power that's in money is for. I say unto you, make friends to yourselves using the mammon of unrighteousness, that when you fail, that when your life as a steward on this earth is over, they, every person who was born again by your proper use of that power that's in money, will receive you into an everlasting habitation. It is I, the Lord God, that gives you power to get wealth. And part of that power, my friend, is His wisdom. It is His wisdom. More to be desired than fine gold, whose income, its revenue, is better than choice silver. Because when you spend your silver, it's gone. But if you have wisdom, you have the tree. He said, the income of wisdom is better than the revenues of silver. He says, I, wisdom, find out knowledge for witty inventions. He says, I deal with prudence. He says, I find out knowledge for witty inventions. Benjamin Franklin found out that he could tap into the creative ability of his inner man better when he was on the edge of consciousness. I found that to be true too. Many of the revelations I preach to you on a daily basis, they come to me at the moment that I'm drifting off into sleep. Because at that moment, my mind is no longer subjected to predetermined avenues of doctrine and is released for a moment into the hands of the Holy Spirit, and He takes advantage of it to slip a revelation in. Well, I'm here to tell you there's a wellspring of life on the inside of each one of you that's worth more than all the gold of this world if you ever learned how to tap into it and have the right reasons. And Benjamin Franklin would sit in a chair with a little steel ball in his hand, and he'd just about fall asleep until he'd relax enough that his hand would open and the steel ball would fall out and clank and wake him back up, and he'd drift again. Because many of his inventions came out of the creative part of his inner man, but beyond or on the edge of sleep and consciousness. See, I, wisdom, deal with prudence, and I find out knowledge for witty inventions. And the Holy Ghost is employed by God to take up residency in your spirit for the sole reason to impart the answers to complex problems, to give you wisdom, to find out knowledge needed for witty inventions. Why? I, wisdom, Proverbs 8 says, I, wisdom, lead in the midst of the paths of judgment or right decisions, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. Glory be to God. Have you any idea the power of the operation of your inner man? Have you any idea? Have you any idea how to tap into him? I can give you a bucket if you want it. You want to know how to dip a bucket into the well? Hello, tongues. For if I speak in an unknown tongue, my spirit releases. He prayeth. You want a bucket to pull out of the wellspring? For I, wisdom, lead in the middle of the paths of right decisions. Here you have a main path. It's easy to walk on. You can walk on it by your senses. But pretty soon the path narrows and one takes off to the right and one to the left. And you're going, well, I don't know which path to take. The one to the left runs along a riverbank. The one to the right runs out into the desert. And the one in the middle, it's kind of desert and green. I don't really, if I had my sensual decision, I'd take the path to the left and go down by the river. Well, little do you know that the path crosses the river and then it goes out into the desert and dies. And the one that went into the desert seemed to go nowhere, but it swerved around and came back to the river. Well, how would you know that? You wouldn't outside of wisdom, and this is what he's talking about. I, wisdom, lead in the midst of the paths of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. My God, I feel rich already. Did God really give me this wisdom? Yes, he did. Did he really give wisdom to you the same way he gave righteousness? You mean his wisdom is just as available to you as righteousness is? Yes, it is. And she cries at the chief places of concourse, you've made no bad decisions. That wisdom did not wave her red flags. But in the areas of prosperity, my friend, here is the criteria, here is the stipulation. You must use your wealth to cancel people's debts against God, which is the sin question. And that makes more wisdom available to you than the sinner ever dreamed of wallowing in. He don't have the Holy Ghost. You do. You have a hotline to God. You have His wisdom. Isaiah 53. One of the greatest things that ever happened to me was when I got a hold of a Kenneth Hagin tape on I Am the Righteousness of God in Christ. Up till that time, I was ultra holiness, which simply said that we strayed into legalism and we ran away from God when we got into trouble instead of to Him. And I think I was born again at least once a week. Because them preachers could always dig around at my life until they convinced me I wasn't saved every week. Then all of a sudden I get this tape. And He was made to be sin for me, that I might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. And Hagin went on teaching. He says, now, how did you become a man or a woman? And I'm thinking, I was born a man. He said, how'd you become a man? I thought, I was born a man. And Hagin says, that's how you was made the righteousness of God in Christ, by a rebirth. It wasn't your works, lest any man should boast. And he introduced me to some of the greatest substitution and identification teachings. Just tremendous. Surely he's borne my sicknesses and carried my pains. He substituted himself in my sicknesses and pains. And now I can identify with the health of Jesus Christ. He went down into the lower parts of the earth that I may ascend up into heaven. See, the chastisement for my lack of peace was upon Him in the form of punishment. And with His stripes I'm healed now. I can walk in the dominant peace of God as only issued forth from the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ Himself. He bore my poverty. And ask me if I understood the grace. He said, for you know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the unmerited, unearnable favor bestowed upon me. For you know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that you through His poverty, substitution, identification might be rich. He identified Himself with my poverty. He substituted Himself in it so I can identify myself with His wealth. In the substitution, identification teachings were some of the greatest revelation knowledge up till that time that just absolutely set me free. I could not believe how free that I was. So when I begin to see from the scripture how available that his wisdom was, his wisdom, crying at the chief places of concourse, I knew in substitution identification truth that he was made to be sin for me, and he became my sicknesses and my pains, and he descended that I may ascend. But I wanted to know from the Word of God that what he substituted himself in, what he became, that I might have ready access to his wisdom. I want to know what he substituted himself in my place, that I may have a free course avenue into the throne room of grace to partake of his wisdom in any situation, any time, that I may not be defeated. I wanted to know what he became in my place, that in any decision, anywhere, on any corporation board, that I would know how to access his wisdom and listen, for I would have the right to pull it out of God. I wanted to know what he became that I might become. And you know where I found it? Do you know where I found what he substituted himself in my place that I might become his wisdom? You know where I found it? In the greatest substitution and identification chapter in the entire Word of God, at his Old Testament, Isaiah 53. So let's see if we can find it, beginning with the fourth verse. I don't know about you, but I'm already feeling rich. I feel incredibly rich. He already made me rich inside. It's just a matter of time till it shows up. Jerry, this is what I like about the power of meditation. It transforms you to the Word of God you're giving yourself to. And many times, meditation will take you on a journey into the victory long before your circumstances get there. That's what's happened to me. Through meditation, he took me on a journey in incredible mountain-moving, devil-stomping wealth. My spirit, man, is already hanging grapevine rich. Just my circumstances got to catch up. Glory. Hallelujah. His prosperity is yours. He has made it available to you. So let's find out what he become, that I may become his wisdom. For Jesus of God has been made unto you and I wisdom. Looking at the fourth verse of Isaiah 53. Surely he hath borne our sicknesses, our griefs, and carried our sorrows, our pains. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we're healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before the shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Can you believe that I found the great substitution and identification truth concerning wisdom that I was looking for in this seventh verse? Here Jesus stood before Pilate. He said, as a sheep before the shearers dumb, he opened not his mouth. Here he was standing before Pilate, and for all general purposes before God, he was standing there on trial in my place. He had substituted himself in my place so he could receive the judgment upon himself that I had coming. Now notice, as the sheep before the shearer is dumb, he opened not his mouth. He refused to open his mouth and offer any defense upon his own behalf so that you and I would have the right, when the devil pulled us before his throne and put us on trial for something Jesus has already redeemed us out of, like poverty, disease, and sin. And because he refused to open his mouth, you and I have the substitution and identification rights to open our mouth and give the wisdom he would not give when he was judged and penalized in my place. So every time the devil drags you on trial and says, I'm going to kill you with this disease, you can open your mouth and offer a defense, because Jesus refused to open his when he was being judged in your place. And now you have access to all the wisdom that he refused to give. My God, that ought to make you smart. And you've been making bad business decisions. Look, he bore your poverty. He already failed in business because he received your judgment. And now you don't have to fail because you have access to the wisdom he would not give. I'm feeling richer all the time. You have to understand this. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You have to understand this. John 1:1 says he was in the world. And the world was made by him. Yet the world knew him not, speaking of the people. He was in the world. And the world was made by him in his deity. Yet it knew him not. In his deity, he understood the molecular structure of the cross he was crucified on. There was no question ever dreamed or conceived to be asked that he didn't already have the answer for. Wisdom was with him in the beginning of his ways before anything existed. There is no question ever conceived to be asked that he does not already have the answer for. Yet, when he received judgment in your place, he refused to give the wisdom which went to the nth degree. There is nothing he did not understand, yet he refused to give it. So that when the devil pulls you on trial for something he has already been judged for, you have the right to open your mouth and give the wisdom he would not give. Natumaka. What makes that wisdom available to me? I can tell you. When you place your business between hell and people trying to get there. The children of this world, the children of darkness, are wiser, 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 wiser in their generation than the children of light. And the differentiating he did between me and a child of darkness, he called him wiser than me. Then he said, but I say unto you, here is the spiritual insight that can make you wiser than the devil's children ever dreamed of being. He said, I say unto you, use the temporary wealth. I'll put it at your disposal, but use it. Use it to do what? Cancel people's debts against God. To get them born again, lay them up into heaven. There'll be a treasure on your account that when your stewardship on this earth is over concerning temporary money, every
person by the millions that were born again by your use of money and wisdom are going to be waiting for you to walk into heaven. This is what makes his wisdom available. He says, I give unto you power to get wealth. Why? That he may establish his covenant with you that he swore to your forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, our covenant. The promise of Jesus, through his seed, all the families of the earth would be blessed. He said he gave that power to establish the covenant of Jesus, to use the temporary wealth that's in money to get people born again. If you'll work with God, you'll make a million times more in your business than you would have ever made without him, with giving billions away. As we conclude, be qua padia cine harakrio. Pietu crema cocio malta. Crendo coquetin chocora bome. Daddy hicke de haimi and tuile vada toichi. Creek, reek, 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 on onchis cubovaccio. Masaha. For down many paths, I desire to walk with you and cause you to eat the good of the land before I'm through with you. So begin with rejoicing and worshiping me, and I, through my presence, will activate my anointing, and it's my anointing that will guide you and set you free. So place your feet upon the rock of doing my sayings, and listen to the pressure of your enemy no more, and you'll see that I'll instruct you in your giving, and I'll give you back more and more. For there's many things that I desire to teach you. Yes, capacities, abilities lying within you that have yet to wake up. Listen not to the enemy. Be bold. Step out in faith. You'll see, saith the Spirit of grace, I'll bring to you the victory. Fellowship with me, learn my ways, and to hear my voice. And you'll see with many areas you failed in, I even gave you choices. So make the right choice this day and give your life completely over to me. I'll make more blessings in every area of your life than you dream possible. For I am the Lord God that set you free. And glory to God. Macha. Biahechalakia. While we're moving in the spirit here for a minute, let me spell out one of the oldest traps.
God, if you help me make $1 million next year, I'll give you 200, 300,000 of it.
No, you won't.
Yes, I will.
No, you won't. Because you won't give 30 cents on the dollar that's in your pocket now. You see, character development doesn't slip upon you overnight. You wouldn't give 300,000 on a million because 300,000 looks a whole lot bigger than 30 cents on a dollar. But if you start now by giving, that is, begin to serve God, to take on a servant's heart where you're operating with what you have now, and your character and faith will develop with you all the way because you have made you, your life, and your business a servant to the kingdom, made yourself available to wisdom.
You say, will there be a fight of faith? Sure there will. Well, I can't afford to give 20% now.
Yeah, and you won't be able to afford to give 200,000 then.
Yes, I will.
No, you won't. Because you won't be maintaining Pintos. You'll be maintaining Rolls Royces. You won't be sweeping the water off your sidewalk. You'll be changing the filter on your pool. You won't be buying a vacuum cleaner. You'll be paying a maid. When you need the 200,000, it'll be ate up just like your 20 cents is ate up now. Yet to become a true servant, you must, to the increase of the faith, begin to serve Him with what you have now. Take your faith on the level it's operating
and get a corresponding action. Begin to serve Him with your money by saying, it's not much yet, but Lord, You use it to cancel people's debts. And as my faith increases from fighting the devil off and walking down that right path of judgment, You'll get more, because I'll give You more now. And you'd be surprised what'll happen at the end of 2 years. Glory be to God. I'm having the time of my life. His wisdom has been made available to me, because He refused to open His mouth and give the wisdom that was in Him when He stood trial for my failures. Glory to God. So when He bore my poverty, that means that He failed in business for me. Oh, He could have succeeded. He was the wealthiest man in the world. That's the kind of wisdom that's been made available. No second-rate wisdom. First-rate. And because His business already failed when He received your judgment, now He has made wisdom available for you at your business to succeed incredibly. Is it your right? What makes the wisdom available? Again, what you do with the money. My